Billy Graham will be preaching the good news this week on television, Thursday in particular. And if you check your bulletin, there's some times listed and channels to look into. Wes was telling me before the service that one of the channels had like a thank you or happy birthday Billy Graham time, where a whole bunch of famous people probably in the last who have known him for the last 30, 40 years did a little happy birthday Billy, I think 95, is that correct? And just a great ministry that God enabled him to have. And so tune in to hear the message. It's a really effective good news message, something you'll have your life changed by. Tell a friend to, you know, watch it and see him the next day and say, what did you think of that message about giving your life to Christ, or however the Lord leads you, and God will do some good things there. Well, recently, Billy Graham said some words about the grace of God. He said that when he looks at the sins and trials of humanity, and Lord knows there's a whole bunch of them, sins and trials of humanity, he has found the grace of God more than sufficient to deal with all of them. Wow. And, the word grace is so powerful in the Bible. And in our everyday language, grace is not a word normally used to describe a person. If I were to ask you, describe a person who's full of grace, you might think, I knew a ballerina, she can do a certain amount of movement that looks real graceful. But it's talking about what God would do for us, that he would give us the gift of himself in an undeserved and unmerited way. So when you and I have sins and trials, we can count on God's undeserved help coming to the rescue. And that's something we need on a regular basis. The Apostle John, a man who was very, very close to Jesus in Jesus' earthly ministry, described Jesus this way. He said, he was full of grace and truth. And from the Lord, from Jesus, we have all received grace upon grace, or one blessing after another. So I don't know how you feel as a person in your soul, but to match our mind and our emotions to what God has actually given, Jesus, and grace upon grace that has come from him, one gift after another. The Bible would tell us that nobody meets God except by the gift of God, the grace of God. Nobody gets to heaven except by the grace of God. Nobody is following Jesus right now except by the grace of God. In other words, he gives us the ability to do that. He gives us himself, his Holy Spirit. And so, according to the Apostle Paul, when Paul thought about grace, he said this. He said, the gift of God, or the grace of God, is eternal life with Jesus Christ our Lord. So Paul connected grace and Jesus very closely. Like the grace of God would flow from the person of Christ. And someone who could change our life only. I like an old definition of grace. Anything outside of hell is the grace of God. So you think of 7 billion people on the earth right now, all experiencing to some extent the grace of God. Breath and life and food, all from God's hand in an undeserved way. And we thank him for it. Now, grace is very basic in the Bible. It's a teaching, but it's also very wondrous. Kind of startles us and surprises us, knocks us off our feet in a great sense. So it's wondrous, and the longer you know the Lord, really, the more thankful you are for his grace. Once a father gave a brand new car to his son, and the father knew his son wasn't quite ready for the brand new car, but he loved his son, so he paid for it himself. Dad fit the bill, and he said, okay, here you are, son, here's the car. And the son was careless with the car, and he totaled the car. It had total shambles of it. And he comes home, of course, is sad and embarrassed, and he'll take a bicycle or whatever the dad's going to give him at this point. But the next morning, the dad took him out and, again, bought him another brand new car. Okay, now you and I hear that story and we say, well, I wouldn't do that. And I think of the story I wouldn't buy my son another brand new car. I'd probably get him a new pair of shoes and be walking, you know, from there on in. But God is different. See, God is different than us. In the story of the prodigal son, he made a wreck, not just of his car, but of his whole life. And he came home, and he didn't think he deserved anything, and he was right. But the father said, well, let me give you, you know, as much as you could ever need. And it's the love of God. And it's really the story of our relationship with God. God gives, and we wreck it. And God gives again, and we wreck it again. And God gives again. One blessing after another. And the marvelous grace of Jesus. Grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. An old song says, wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. And so it's an amazing move of God on our behalf. And Augustine said that the law would detect sin. The law is very important, but grace would conquer sin. So in a life that's struggling with sin and failure and trials, we still cry for God's unmerited favor. We certainly don't say, well, I'm going to do all I can so that maybe God will see that I deserve some of His help and, you know, come and help me, God. God moves in to help us even before we realize we need the help. Martin Luther said, when you despair of yourself, you are ready for God's grace or unmerited favor. And it's a little bit hard to despair of yourself because our self is so big in many occasions. But to look at how the grace of God helps us, God gives us law, wonderful gift. It's holy, it's eternal, and God gives us His grace. Unconditional law and unconditional grace. You know, unconditional law means there's no wiggle room in terms of what God has said to do. God says, love your neighbor, so you love your neighbor. There's no, you know, exceptions to that. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, help me do that for 5 minutes. You know, just enjoy you, not as a pressure thing, but as an opportunity. No wiggle room with the unconditional law. And unconditional law, when we stand before a holy God, really does condemn us. The law condemns or the law kills. When we try to get back in God's good graces by what we're going to do before His law, we are going to hear that we are guilty. God will be effective to point the sin out to us. And it's a humbling thing. The law always kills, but grace always brings life. Brings life, the gift of God. And grace does have a sharp edge to it. You know, grace offends. Weren't you offended a little bit by the story of the guy who got the two cars? You might say, I don't like grace. Well, the guy who got the second car likes grace. See, we seem to not like grace when the other guy's getting it. But when we get grace, we like it. So we want to say, move beyond the song, for example, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like you. No, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Grace offends because, in a way, grace tells us we are not good enough. Isn't that the message of grace? Grace means we are not good enough. God has to come and give us His righteousness and give us His forgiveness. And even though He tells us we're not good enough, He comforts us and says, I love you. I'm going to not leave you or forsake you. The unconditional grace of God through His Son. The law says try harder. If you can improve yourself, that's good. Grace says you alone can't do it. The law also is about good people getting better. This is the reason why some people go to church. Well, I'm pretty good, and I'll get better if I go to church. That's not the good news of Christ. God knows it's more we're dead people coming alive. You know, there's a somewhat of a blessing when you say, "Well, I feel dead in my relationship with God." Well, you've come to the end of yourself. Sometimes you go to a meeting or a fellowship time, you say, well, that was kind of dead, you know. I go to a dead church. You know what? That's kind of good to say that, because then God can bring you to life. You don't want to go to a church where there's good people getting better. Yeah. That's not from God. That's not a gospel-believing church. And so the grace of God that can change our life, often too, when we look at the law, we say, what can we sacrifice for God or do something maybe to get in His good stead? But the gospel and grace says, Jesus sacrificed for us, the wonderful gift of God. So we say, when we come to God daily, do we need the grace of Jesus purchased by Him? It is so costly at the price of His own Son, but so necessary. And again, He moves in a redemptive way. He moves to the problems we have, the sin and the illnesses. I thought of what was said about the first responders at the shooting at the L.A. airport. They said, when you hear gunfire, instinctively you run the other way. And so everybody is running the other way. But the first responders, they are trained so that when they hear the gunfire, they run toward the gunfire. And God is the first responder. When He sees sin and illness, He runs towards the brokenness that is there. And so He's there to rescue. He wants to save and strengthen and set us apart, loving Him. Don't want to get there yet. But Billy Graham's grandson recently wrote a book about the grace of God. He called it One Way Love. And part of his testimony is this. He had a really wild life, you might say. Raised in a Christian home and, you know, influenced the godly grandparents and everything. Yet he went way, way out of bounds as a young adult. Got into drugs heavily, was arrested more than once, and also was told to, you can't live in the house because you're living that way. Message. So he really went off the deep end. Finally, he came to the end of himself, came back to Christ, came back to home and church, and met a gal, and it was a wonderful relationship. You know, he's going to church as a young adult with this gal, and him and the gal are kind of like the model couple who are just about to get married. You know, look at this young Christian couple, fantastic, aren't you excited for them, and all that other stuff. And, you know, it was just a wonderful story. And yet, in spite of all that, his relationship with her got too close, and she becomes pregnant. Okay, after he is the prodigal, he comes home, and yet there they are, seemingly back from square one in terms of getting out of bounds. And so he and the gal had to tell his parents. He tells a story in the book, and he comes to tell his parents, and he chooses Mother's Day to tell his parents about it. Young adults have a sense of bad timing, you know. Okay, it's Mother's Day. I think I'll tell you about my major problems here. So he goes, him and the gal go outside, talk to the father. You know, and they just feel terrible. They break down and cry and began to talk to the dad. And the dad, Billy Graham's grandson, said, you know, he really needed a lecture. He needed condemned. The dad would have, you know, gave him a belt across the butt, it would have been feeling like he deserved it. But the father, you know, saw the brokenness and hugged him and hugged the gal. And he said, you know, I love you. I love you. And this child is going to be a blessing. And he promised his faithfulness, you know, to them. He promised his love to this couple who knew they did wrong. They went way out of bounds. And Billy Graham's grandson said it was his dad's gracious response that led him away from sin and back into the arms of God. How different that is than what our ability to respond is very often. But that's the way God is. Jesus full of grace and truth. And Jesus in us, He can help us be full of grace and truth. And when you think the gifts God gives you and me, Jesus, the gift of God, gift of grace. The cross, a gift of God. He went willingly. Forgiveness, the gift of God. Heaven, the gift of God. Communion, the Lord's table, the gift of God. And wanted to give the application of putting the Lord's Supper in as part of salvation, which it is. You know, it's a representation of salvation. Here's the Lord's Supper in the Romans passage. You might say, put in there in placement of heaven or being saved. The Lord's Supper is a gift. If a person could earn it by being good, then it wouldn't be free, but it is. The bread and cup are offered to those who do not work for it. For God declares sinners to be good in His sight. They have faith in Christ to save them from God's wrath. And is our walk with God. Might we always say, I need the grace of God. God's law is effective. And it points out our sin. And God's grace brings salvation and rescue. And oh, to be able to pass that on to a world caught up in sin and being swamped by trials. God's grace is sufficient. And might we pray to the Lord as we come to His table and ask that He continue to change our life. Lord Jesus,